So this morning we have a double feature, but no popcorn. So as you're watching that great character of American cinema, Indiana Jones, at his best, I want you to try and figure out, and you know how difficult it is to figure out the mind that is Mark Vaughn, the major difference between the opening scenes to Raiders of the Lost Ark and the opening scenes to Temple of Doom. I mean, aside from the obvious difference in where it takes place and stuff like that, there's something deeper there to think about. So, and before we get kicked off, I want to say a giant thank you to Mike Tackett for making it happen for me, and to Michael Rhodes for making sure that we have PowerPoint, because, well, you know, to me, this is PowerPoint. So anyway, here we go. So any guesses? The first one was unbelievable? Actually, you hit it. No, that was my thing when, because I was waiting for the second one to come out, because I enjoyed the first one so much. But for me, at least, when you saw the first one, it was like way until almost the very end. I mean, for most of 90 minutes, it was, you know, believability. You know, your internal dialogue is, well, it could happen. You know, and then the stuff shot in their eyes and all, you know, and then at that point you could cross the line of believability. You know, what took 90 minutes in the first one, we crossed in about 9 minutes in the second one. When he pulled the deal on the rubber raft and it became aerodynamic. You know, I don't think they designed them for aerodynamic, but that right there, and I enjoyed the movie, I really did. Nothing compares to the first as usual, but but right there for me, it was like, okay, we're over the line. This is not going to be, you know, you're not going to recapture believability. You get it or you don't. And in other movies, I don't mean to be a movie critic this morning because we got more important things to talk about, but in other movies, you suspend disbelief and you do it early. You know, Star Wars is a wonderful franchise, Star Trek, if you like it, you know, but you know up front that we're not there technologically yet, and so we're going to suspend disbelief about why things work the way they do in space and stuff like that. So, so good job. So we get most of the way through Raiders with our believability intact. And, you know, once you get through, you get started in Temple. So that was a long way to go for a point, though, that I think speaks to where we are with Bible and Bible belief. We come to the short book of Daniel. And it is a short book. I hadn't read it in years, and I was forcibly struck by just how short it is. And it's only 13 chapters. In the Bible I was using, it's only 14 pages, so it's not a long read. And then, on top of that, you go, well, let's see, starting at chapter 7, it's all that heavy-duty prophecy stuff that's really difficult to figure out, you know, unless you study it for a while. And so all the things that we're used to, the miracles that we've grown up hearing about and a few that maybe we haven't heard about, all of that is in only 6 chapters. That's pretty fast action. That's almost like watching a movie like this. That goes along faster than the plagues do. It comes and goes faster than that. Certainly faster than a lot of the major stuff that we find in the life of Jesus. So we ask ourselves, what does it mean to believe? If you're a Cowboys fan, you always paraphrase it, what do believe mean? You go back and say, what is it? Now, normally, and especially if it was my son-in-law standing up here instead of me, we would probably have a definition from Webster or somebody like that. That doesn't work for me, especially not here. So there's two kinds of belief that we want to talk about and define this morning. There's secular belief and there's biblical belief. Now here's the definition of secular belief. I believe it's going to rain. I tell you that, and what do you think? You know, is Mark 100% certain, willing to bet his life it's going to rain? Or, you know, what's Delka say? Is it 50% today? Is it 70%? Is it 10%? What? That's the believe word that is in our culture that most of us use. And so when you say, I believe in something, or I believe in this, or I believe in that, you've got to be careful, especially if you're talking to somebody who may not have the same background as you, that they may not understand it the same way you do. Right? So what's biblical belief going to be then? Well, that's a little easier found. It is if we had enough room for me to arrange all of my junk anyway. So in Mark chapter 9, we get one idea from Jesus. Because they bring Jesus a boy who has demon possession. How long has he been this way? Jesus asked his father. And the father replied, he said, well, since he was very small, and the demon often makes him fall into the fire or into the water to try and kill him. He said, have mercy on us. Do something if you can. To which the Lord said, if I can, anything is possible if you have faith. Now, literally, just flip the page, and you're in chapter 11 of Mark. And we have that one that just, for a definition and for even biblical stuff, it kind of defies belief. Excuse me. In reply, Jesus said to the disciples, if you only have faith in God, this is the absolute truth, you can say to this Mount of Olives, rise up and fall into the Mediterranean Ocean, and your command will be obeyed. Yeah, right. I mean, isn't that your internal dialogue? Let's be honest here. Isn't that our internal dialogue when we read that? Come on, Jesus. Quit pulling my leg. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you have it. It's yours. Wow. Then we just flip the page back over for the juxtaposition to what really represents what goes on in my life more often than these examples that the Lord gave us. Because how did the Father respond to Jesus when Jesus said, if you just believe, anything is possible? Do you remember the Father's response? I know Danny does. I believe, help me in my unbelief. There was an honest fellow right there saying an honest thing. So the first thing you got to ask yourself is, what's your definition of belief? What does it mean to believe? So what do you really and truly believe? Helps to move the notes. Well, let's see. I believe in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, ghosts, demon spirits, shadow governments, Atlantis, Neil Armstrong didn't walk on the moon, etc., etc., etc. For further details, see Sightings of Elvis and the National Enquirer. Or maybe you're more like Winston Zeddemore Jr. You got Winston Zeddemore Jr. on your radar? Ghostbusters. When they hired him, he said to Janine, "I believe in anything you say, as long as there's a steady paycheck in it." There's people out there that we know that are like that. How about another list? How about creation in six literal 24-hour days? The Nile River turning to blood? The Red Sea being parted, Jesus walking on the water, the lion's den, Jesus turning water into wine, the virgin birth, the fiery furnace, the resurrection, the blind shall see, and the dead shall rise. How much does the circle of each of those lists overlap in your life? Well, whom do you believe? Who do you listen to? Where do you get your ideas from? Where do you get your facts? The media, the press, is it from television, from magazines, from newspapers, the internet? There's a fount of facts. Radio, especially talk radio. Maybe your best friends, maybe your coworkers, maybe your family, maybe your spouse. God, the Bible. You know, there's not right or wrong answers necessarily in everything I'm asking us this morning. I want us to think about stuff. You've got to examine your faith. How are we doing? Good. Good job, Michael. If I was in charge of this, it'd be a... So, how can you tell what it is you truly believe? Have you sat down to take an inventory and try and figure it out? Well, let me say that first of all, it has to do with you have to think it. And this has to be in a consistent manner, consistent timing. I mean, there's nothing that we do that doesn't start with a thought. The chairs you're sitting on started with a thought. The cars that you drive to get here started with a thought. The pen you're writing with right now starts with a thought. The beautiful songs we sing, the instruments we play, the building we're blessed to meet in all started up here. And as you study history, you find that it's when somebody thought they could, you know, for a long time, and you young people will have to take the word of an old guy, for a long time, we didn't think there was going to be anybody go faster in physical running than a 4-minute mile. And then Roger Bannister ran a 3:59. And after that, there were several more people that found out they could break the 4-minute mile too. And now it may as well be the 3-minute mile, but you know what? In another generation or so, that may fall. All the stuff that we thought was science fiction that has become science, you know, whether you used to like Dick Tracy comics or whatever it was, all of that kind of stuff. Next, you better be able and willing to say it. It's got to be willing to come out. We are created in such a way that we need to hear it, and we need to hear it from ourselves. I need to hear me say it. If you want it, you've got to be able to say it. Declare it is what people of faith like to say. There we go. Think it, say it, but most of all, take action. Because you can think all you want, you can say all you want, you can believe as hard as you want to believe, but without action, nothing's going to happen. We're not going to have the chairs and all the other stuff. And this is the part, as they say in the tire game, where the rubber meets the road. You know, you do it or you don't do it. It works out only as each of us walks it out daily. So let me ask you again, what do you believe? Do you really and truly believe? Because what it say in Daniel? Not a hair of their head. Speaking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the names that were given to them. Not a hair of their heads was singed, their coats were unscorched, and they didn't even smell of smoke. I can't barbecue hot dogs and hamburgers with the wind at my back and not smell of smoke. So what do you really, truly believe? Daniel could have been in a double knit robe and it wouldn't have mattered, because not a scratch was found on him, because he believed in his God. I'd like you to spend your time thinking today, or when you're driving this week, or when you have a minute, about what you really believe. Now, we haven't asked all the questions that go with this, but we're going to tackle the rest of it next week. So, if you would, bow your head. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you care for us in such specific ways that when we believe, miracles can occur. And thank you for what they mean for us, Father, and especially the miracle that we celebrated earlier, that we call you Father, that you call us sons and daughters, and that when we die, that's not the end for us. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.